Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Thinking big thoughts, so you don't have to.
On a Monday.
Here's John Williams.
I actually have two for you. Because I accidentally thought one Saturday. Hi, it's John. It's 9-11. We're here weekdays from 9 to noon. On social media, I'm WGN King John. Boy, will you like me on Facebook today? I posted a cookie recipe that will change your life. Wow. And don't forget, our Missing Rascals podcast was judged best in the state by the Illinois Broadcasters Association this year. Links to all of that at John Williams' social media pages, WGN King John.
Congratulations on that.
A little belated, but...
Well, I haven't seen you.
This is the first time you and I have worked together in the mornings that I've actually mentioned that, and it's nice of you to say. It's a real tribute to Steve Bertrand and Justin Kaufman and some of our other friends in town that are the commentators on that. I just kind of asked them some hard questions. That's the Mincing Rascals. By the way, that recipe is for a ginger spice cookie. Mm-hmm. It's like a Christmas cookie. And the key is you put this white icing on it that has a tablespoon of Irish whiskey in the icing.
Ooh.
It's a fine cookie. But I'm not a big ginger spice cookie kind of guy. Mm-hmm. You put that icing on there with just a little hello of that other stuff. Hokey smokes. That's a game changer. It gets 5 stars on the New York Times recipe page. I posted it on my Facebook page because I care. Because I want you to have a great holiday.
Did you make them yourself?
I certainly watched.
Well, that's all you need to do.
That was my role. I said to Brenda, wow, I'm not so sure about those. Then she put the icing on those. And I said, these are the highlight of my day.
Wait, where's this recipe?
It's on my Facebook page, WGN King John.
Do you have to make gingerbread men, or can you just make regular cookies?
We just made little circles.
Little circles, okay.
I'll bet a little gingerbread man with a little whiskey icing will make somebody else's day. Our news click over the weekend at WGNradio.com asked you how you felt about Michael Vick being the honorary Pro Bowl captain, and 90% of you said no, you don't like that one little bit. But the big story this weekend, of course, football-wise, was about the Chicago Bears and the Bears' final play of the game, which some people said was a perfect sort of representation of the season.
They just set it up to Cohen, looking for some blockers. Tariq Cohen now is going to throw it backwards. Ball is dropped, coming up to get it. It's Trubisky making moves, still on his feet. This play is still going. Horstead's got it. Ball is loose on the ground, and it is...
That last play ended on the 2-yard line, as you know, and there were two guys to the right, one a little behind, one a little over to the right, who, if he had lateraled it to them, would have had a shot at the end zone. Yeah. That play almost worked.
It did.
And for 49 seconds left on the clock, we can't move the ball 49 minutes. And instead of throwing the Hail Marys, they did these short outs. And I thought, this is genius!
Well, I mean, I think what you've seen happen, there's been a metamorphosis. It used to be you had that 1 second left, you threw it to the end zone, and then you try to tip it around. And hopefully, but they work so rarely that teams have figured out, well, if they're going to put their safeties and put 5 guys back in the end zone, then why don't we just try something underneath and maybe we'll get them free. And so you get big chunks of yardage, but to get the final couple of yards is always going
to
be tough.
I so felt for the coach, because when they cut to him on the sideline, he was like, oh, I was that close. He still would have needed 2 points, but he was that close.
Well, do you remember a couple of years ago when the Bears played the Patriots at Soldier Field and they completed the pass to Kevin White? And he got within a yard of the end zone, and the Bears were trying to tie the game against New England, and he came up a yard short on that.
I was thinking about that play.
Having the Super Bowl, too, remember?
That's the play I was thinking of, the Super Bowl, where it went right to the 1-yard line and didn't get in. By the way, Producer Elif, if you go to WGNradio.com on the John Williams page, you will also find, or on my Facebook page, but go to WGNradio.com. On the John Williams page, there's a link to my Salvation Army virtual kettle. How much money's in there now, Elif?
$4,480, John.
$4,400. And we're looking for how much, Producer Elif? How much are we? What is the goal? We got $4,400. What are we looking for?
Around $35,000, John.
Okay, so we're a little short. Let's go into the WGNRadio.com, John Williams page. Make your donation now if you've been thinking about it, okay? Okay, so I'm just a little mystified by all of this. There's the Hallmark Channel. It's on all year long. And at Christmas time, a lot of us have it on like a fireplace in the corner playing those Christmas movies. Among the ads on the Hallmark Channel, one for a wedding site called Zola that shows same-sex couples. And in one of the ads, the same-sex couple says this.
I, Eleanor, regret registering at the same store my parents did 30 years ago.
So regret that.
Yeah, so this is a woman standing at the altar. They're lovely ladies. There's a guy there about ready to marry them. And they're doing the vows saying, shoot, we should have gone with Zola. At the end of the commercial, you get this.
And now, do you
think Zola could have made planning your perfect wedding easier?
I do. We do.
There are a million choices to make. We've helped a million.
And then, as the lady says that, they kiss. They kiss right on the mouth, these two ladies. That's the end of the commercial. So there's a couple of websites that took exception to this. One's called A Million Moms, and another one is called LifeSiteNews.com. 1 million Moms website said the Hallmark Channel has always been known for its family-friendly movies. Even its commercials are usually safe for family viewing, but unfortunately that's not the case anymore. A commercial from Zola.com shows two lesbians kissing at the end of their wedding ceremony. One viewer commented on the board, quote, why would you show a lesbian wedding commercial on the Hallmark Channel? Hallmark movies are family friendly and you ruined it with that commercial. Another viewer wrote, our family was watching a wonderful Hallmark movie based on a true story. It was late, but our daughter was up with us, and during the commercial break, there was a commercial showing two women lip locking. Please, Hallmark, we're fed up with having the gay agenda crammed down our throats. Somebody needs to explain to me someday what the gay agenda is. LifeSiteNews.com said, shame on Hallmark for airing commercials with same-sex couples and even considering movies with LGBT content and lead characters. So this wedding site, Zola, I believe Hallmark says, we're not going to run your gay ads. We'll run the regular ads that don't show same-sex couples, to which Zola then said, skip that. We won't run our ads, period. So now everybody loses. Hallmark doesn't get the money from Zola. Zola doesn't get the advertising that they would have otherwise. Mike Chi is on a phone line. Mike, this is John Williams. You're on WGN in Chicago. How are you?
Great, John. Thanks for having me.
You are the chief marketing officer for that company, Zola. Can you catch me up? That's where the story was last night. Where is the story today?
Sure. Just to back up, just so I make sure that your listeners know what Zola is. Zola is the easiest way to plan your wedding and register, and we've helped a million couples plan their wedding. We advertise on television pretty frequently. And so we launched this new campaign, as you described, about a week ago, and have had really positive overall response to it. And then heard from the Hallmark Channel, as you said, that they would no longer run four of our ads, and they would run two.
Let me ask you this, Mike, because you had six ads, four showed same-sex couples.
Yep.
So Hallmark did that not because they objected to the ads, but they didn't like the pressure they were getting from these other organizations, right?
That, as far as I can tell, I haven't spoken directly to Hallmark, other than when we requested information on why they had pulled the ads, they said that they found them to be controversial and that they do not run controversial content. We don't find the ads to be controversial. We think they're just a representation of people getting married.
So what's happened now?
So we've had tons of support over the weekend, tweets from Ellen DeGeneres, Governor Gavin Newsom, Mayor Pete, even William Shatner tweeted about this, which was pretty exciting for me personally. I've heard from many of our couples and many people who aren't getting married about the support for us and our decision to pull these ads when Hallmark decided they were going to censor us and not represent our inclusivity. Last night, Hallmark did announce that they have reversed their decision. I think they also heard from many, many people that they didn't agree with the decision that they were making, including their viewers, as well as advocacy groups and us. And so while we were really disappointed that they made this decision initially, we're relieved that they've changed their mind. So I haven't yet, however, heard from Hallmark. They haven't contacted Zola yet.
Will you run the ads then, or will you say, fine, if you're not going to be an LGBTQ-friendly place, we won't run our ads, period? What are you going to do?
So that was our statement to them when we pulled the ads, that we wouldn't run ads unless we felt we wouldn't run ads at a place that did not share the values that we think are core to who we are as a company. So before we ran any ads on Hallmark, I'd certainly need assurances that they weren't going to censor our ads and that they were taking steps to remedy some of the hurt that they've done making this decision.
And as long as they do that, then the ads will be back on the Hallmark channel, right?
I think we haven't made that decision yet, but I think that, if we want to see, we want to make the right decision and we want to see them make the right decision. And we certainly want to reach all couples. Like I said earlier, we welcome couples of all backgrounds and orientations, whether they're watching cheesy Christmas movies or,
But let me ask you this, Mike. Does your site necessarily cater to the LGBTQ community, or is it for everybody?
That's a great question. Our site is for everyone. Like I said, we've helped a million couples get married, and those couples come from all backgrounds and orientations. And what's important to us is that we represent that, because the modern couple getting married today wants to make their own choices. They want to have their own wedding. They want it to be.
No, I understand all of that, Mike. But it would also seem to me like, just from a marketing standpoint, listen, I'm on your side on this. I can't believe in 2019 we're having this conversation. But
sure.
If you run six commercials and four of them show same-sex commercials, that to me would just seem to be a little illogical. I would have done three and three, or four and two the other way, just because I think that better reflects America right now. You know what I mean?
Sure. So if you watch the ads, there's only of the six ads, the majority of them feature multiple couples. And yeah. So what we were trying to show folks is that, we do as a company support couples from all backgrounds. So I think the attention has been given to one couple getting married, but we actually represent three different couples, and they're from all different backgrounds. And frankly, some of the other groups are underrepresented as well, and some of the groups are groups you see every day. So we're excited for all couples to use Zola and get married here, whether they be from any orientation or background.
Heidi Stevens in the Chicago Tribune wrote and also tweeted, "If you, like me, happen to think movies and commercials are family-friendly, when they include all sorts of families, when they reflect the beautiful array of families that populate our communities, when they acknowledge that love isn't reserved for straight people, consider letting Hallmark know." Sounds like that's what happened. And so, boy, Hallmark, I don't know what their corporate communications people are like, but they run the ads, then they don't run the ads, then maybe they do run the ads. Make up your mind. This is a problem for them that they've created on their own. And if nothing else, it's been good for Zola, I think, because you've got your name out there more than just the commercials. Mike Chia is the marketing officer over there. Mike, thanks for your time. Good luck to you guys. I appreciate you joining us this morning.
Yeah, sure. Thanks so much. Have a great day.
That's Michael Chia, and he's the chief marketing officer at that website, Zola.
Wow, I just left Home Depot on North Avenue, and there was three dogs there, and I thought to myself, what's going on here?
Who let the dogs out?
Hooter, 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 hooter.
Who let the dogs out?
I don't understand why people, I have a dog, I love my dog, but I'm not bringing him to Home Depot. Leave your dog at home.
The party was nice, the party was pumping.
This is not intended to be a theme of this show, but it's just sort of become a running occurrence. And Pete McMurray has become the dogs in stores and restaurants police.
And the girls respond to
that. That was him calling in on my show the other day. And in fact, this weekend, he was sending me pictures where he was at a clothing store shopping maybe for Christmas. And there was a lady standing there with her dog on a leash like she was at a park. It wasn't a tiny dog either, but she's just shopping, walking her dog through the racks. And Pete McMurray seems to find this wherever he goes. But frankly, this day and age in the Chicago area, I'm noticing it too, and at restaurants as well. So I called Pete and I said, can you join us today? I just want to refresh this topic. He said, no, I'm busy. Maybe we'll talk about it in the 11 o'clock hour. He's walking his dog or something.
Okay, couldn't have taken a few minutes.
He was so busy, he couldn't take a few minutes for us. But it's okay. I'm sorry, Olive, you were going to say what?
Well, my next door neighbor has a small dog, and she told me that
she was just saying it was funny. I didn't tell her about this conversation, but to me, she goes, I was at the PetSmart the other day and with my dog, and it was just kind of like weird to be shopping around with my dog, even in the PetSmart. And it made me think of this conversation.
Yeah, even in the PetSmart. And so we go to PetSmart, fine store. And I think that if you're going to start with places that's okay, that would be the one place it's okay, right? Polished concrete floors, and it's a pet store. And so if you take issue with that, then I think maybe the problem is yours.
I have to add one thing, though.
However,
she also has a Dizzy Dapple Dachshund.
She has a Dizzy Dapple Dachshund like my Daisy?
Exactly like
Daisy.
Holy
smokes!
Well, what?
We should get them together.
And so here's how I fall on this, because I have a goofy Labrador Retriever. And uh-oh. I wouldn't dare take him anywhere in public. We tried to go once into the pet store, and he jumped on that. You know how they have the bar of cookie treats? He literally jumped on top of it to try to eat those cookies. And so I'm like, that's the last experiment with Murrow going out in public.
Okay, so listen to this. I was at the Hotel Zachary. It's that new hotel and restaurant that's across from Wrigley Field.
Right.
We live near there, and I was meeting some people, so we went up there, and I was having my condo board association meeting there. It was just three of us. We needed a common space, and they have a common space in the lobby area. But it shares an area with the restaurant that they have there. In the restaurant, there were some people. You'll hear mingling at a restaurant in this cut. But tell me if you can hear the dog that somebody brought into the restaurant with them.
That's in the restaurant?
How can you not hear that?
In the restaurant the whole time.
Oh, come on. And nobody asked them to leave?
The dog was the size of a Volvo. It was a big dog. It was a large dog. So that's just like a red flag. But then if your dog barks once, it's like if your kid's crying a lot, you think maybe we have to leave. If your big dog is barking at a restaurant, you have to leave the restaurant. I don't care if you don't have your pasta yet. You have to go now.
Was it a service dog or a comfort dog?
Boy, they need a sign if it was.
Anxiety dog or whatever?
I was having anxiety, and I needed comfort.
So if it was a real service dog, the chances of that dog barking
are
slim to
zero.
That's a good point. They know better than that.
They're very well trained.
And we needed a service person, because that lady did not get
it. You needed a manager.
Well, some people walk in with their dog like, isn't this a great dog?
Yeah, everybody come and pet my dog.
I know, and I feel that way about Daisy the Dapple Dachshund, but I don't bring her to a restaurant. I think she's a terrific dog. She's unique. Oh, if you just knew Daisy, you'd love her.
She loves everybody.
And if Daisy's barking at a restaurant, Daisy's in the car. Or we're in the car with her, and we're all going home now. Did you ever do that with your kids? You took them to, out to eat. It could have been Panera, right? And you're just sitting there. And if the kid's throwing a fit, you go, oh, crap, I'm not eating my salad. Or you grab it and you go. You just do, because you're in a public place. Hello, Earth. Lots of texts about our last conversation, by the way. We were talking about Zola, the wedding planning site that had ads running on the Hallmark Channel, the family-friendly Hallmark Channel. Four of the six ads include same-sex couples, sometimes kissing at the altar. So Hallmark said, well, then we're not going to run any of your ads because people are giving us a lot of grief about it. And then the grief Hallmark got for pulling the Zola ads has now caused Hallmark to reverse their reverse. And now they've said, okay, we will run the ads. Zola just told us they're not exactly sure, but they probably will run the ads. Hey, John said 815, when I wondered what the gay agenda is that people are worried about, it refers to a large part of the country that still believes gay marriage is morally wrong. 815, I believe that Hallmark now has cards for marriages of same-sex couples. Hallmark has those cards for sale. What a double standard. 815, John is the father of two gay children. I would like to tell the conservatives looking for family-friendly TV that shielding your children will not prevent them from being gay. It's okay. They'll be fine. 708, in my opinion, Zola should go back on the Hallmark station. It's a great example of a mistake made, apologies given. Some of you, though, feel quite differently. John, Hallmark can do whatever they want, but it's sad that they were pressured into conforming to liberal views. By the way, about dogs in restaurants and stores, 847 texted in, I was at Crate and Barrel in Northbrook, and there was a dog in the store barking quite loudly. So many things a dog could break. PetSmart, yes. Home Depot, yes. Crate and Barrel, no. I don't want to be, when I get to be king, I think this is going to be easy. I think you're going to like it.
I ran into a dog at the movie theater over the weekend.
You did not.
I did. Yeah.
Did you sit next to him? Did he share your popcorn?
It was a man, I'm not sure what, he wasn't able to walk. I don't know what exactly
his malady. So it was a service animal, huh?
I don't know, because service animals, don't they say that you're not supposed to pet service animals and
right,
things like that?
Absolutely.
So this guy was like, hey, yeah, sure, pet my dog, do whatever you like, you know. So I just had the feeling that...
He liked his dog.
Yeah.
So I presume then the dog sat in the aisle, maybe, and he had an aisle seat?
You know, some of those movies, he was in a wheelchair, so he was in the front row, you know.
Okay. By the way, what was the movie you went to see?
Knives Out.
How did we like it?
We liked it.
1 to 23 Jujubes, that's the movie my family saw at Thanksgiving for our annual Thanksgiving trek. I gave it 21. How about you, Steve?
I'm going to give it 18.
Yeah.
How many dog barks did it get?
Well, he barked through the whole movie. the only part I didn't love was the Daniel Craig. I wasn't in love with his portrayal, but...
Really?
You know, the southern accent kind of thing.
I thought the characters were so quirky and weird and funny. You know, not hilarious, but just... odd,
right?
That it was really a fun movie for me. My daughter-in-law and I liked it the most. Brenda liked it pretty good. Grant and Griffin liked it okay. You know, we were glad we went. I watched at home Torture Report. Have you seen Torture Report?
I did watch that, yes.
Yeah. Not an easy movie to watch, but kind of like the movie Spotlight, does a deep dive into something that's happened recently and tells you the background on it. And it was what happened at Guantanamo Bay and other places where, during the war, we were torturing people to get information after 9/11. Torture Report. Yes, it's a good movie. I also watched Hustlers over the weekend, the Jennifer Lopez movie. I thought that was just going to be super sexy and fun. I couldn't finish it. I turned it off after 45 minutes.
I watched Marriage Story.
Yes!
Scarlett Johansson and Adam Driver, because I'll watch Adam Driver do anything.
Best movie I've seen in a long time.
Oh, you're kidding me. I thought it was like Kramer versus Adam Driver. It was Kramer versus Kramer.
Kramer versus Kramer. It was the one that it did remind me of a little bit, and that a couple you like, you devolve, and the attorneys get involved, and it gets worse.
It was awful. It wasn't an awful movie. It just wasn't enjoyable at all.
Darn, I was looking forward to watching
it. Go see, Mary, do not listen to Steve.
Oh, okay.
I'll tell you what, go see the movie and report back to us.
We don't have to go anywhere.
Yeah, isn't it on Netflix? Home.
Yeah,
that's what I did.
Or is it Amazon? What is it?
I think it's Amazon.
I was in my living room. It was there.
Marriage and Story.
Go watch Netflix. That. The performances are amazing. And by the way, it is laugh out loud funny in places. Am I right, Steve? It's laugh out loud funny in places. No?
When they're torturing the children, or which part?
Okay. Different people have different outlets.
It just was a difficult movie to watch. And I didn't realize until I was over. I thought I was going to watch a movie about a marriage that dissolved, but it was really a movie about a divorce that dissolved.
Kind of. Although when I walked out of that movie, I later told Brenda.
Again, you didn't walk out of it unless you just went outside for some air.
Later after the movie, I told Brenda it made me value our friendship and marriage, our relationship so much more. Right? Because here's a couple that you would like either of them independently, and you liked that they liked each other. And then it went south. And it made you realize how precious a lasting relationship is. And so I was giving that little speech. I'm not sure Brenda heard it all. She and Daisy were watching something else by then. But that's how I felt about that. I really felt close to Brenda, which is weird after watching a movie about this warring couple. Joan, you wanted to say what? Hi, you're on WGN Radio. Hi, Joan.
Hi,
you're on the air.
Hi, thanks. So I also work in a retail store seasonally right now, and had a huge event. The store was jam-packed, and we had two people that brought their dogs in. One was a giant dog that people were tripping over the leash trying to get their merchandise, and the other one was a little dog the person was holding. So, I mean, I like dogs. Unfortunately, I'm allergic to dogs. I can't have one. But please, don't bring it. You know that it's crowded. It can't be good for the dog. It's not good for anybody else. And when I'm out dining at a restaurant, I don't want a dog around me.
I'm I'm especially at a restaurant. Elif, do you have the audio of that dog at the restaurant that I taped last night? Listen, this was random. Like, it was happening so often. I just started recording on my phone, and I thought, pretty soon it's going to happen. I was a considerable distance from this table. If we ate at a kennel.
I mean, it's horrible. It's just, oh.
I appreciate your listening and call. Thanks for joining us, Joan.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Have a good day. You know what I planned to talk about here, and I'm not now, so maybe we will later on, but there was a story in the, I think, New York Times, maybe it was CNN, and they said pros and cons on when you go out with a group, another couple, there's four of you, or there's 10 of you, how do you handle the check? Do you split it evenly, divided by the number of people? Or do you itemize, you had the Manhattan, I had the steak, she had the pasta? Dave, how do you do that when you go out? What's your plan?
Usually just throw credit cards down and just split it.
If there's
six of us, we split it. If three couples, we split it three ways. If there's two, we split it two ways. So don't itemize.
Do you then order more conservatively because you don't want to order the steak when everybody else is having the chicken? Now your bill is disproportionate. They're subsidizing your side of the bill then.
Yeah, I think that's sort of an understanding when you sit down to eat that somebody might order something that costs a little more. It's usually not me, by the way.
Yeah.
But I don't.
The salads are cheap.
Yeah. I mean, really, I don't sit down and order the steak, but that's fine if the people I'm with do.
In the story that I was reading, the guy orders tap water and an omelet. And then everybody else is like, oh, crap. Really?
I was out to dinner with friends. There were five of us, Sharon and three others, this week. I picked up the tab. I picked up the tab because I just wanted to get out of there.
And
I'm not kidding you.
No, I've done that before. And the discomfort of all of that, Brenda just looks at me and says, let's just do this. You know, it'll be our gift to the group. But there's another way to handle it. Lots of texts, as always. You can call, too, 312-981-7200. Good morning. It's John Williams here weekdays from 9 to noon. I was telling you the story about dogs in restaurants. I think we're going to be talking about this for a while. It's just going to come up now and again. Steve, did you hear the audio of the dog barking at the restaurant that I played on?
It was unbelievable.
Thank you. I thought, is this just me, or do I think this is, like, pretty insane? Because that was a noisy restaurant.
What kind of restaurant was it besides noisy? I mean, was it, like, an upscale place? Was it a Denny's?
Does this help? It was the restaurant dining room of a hotel.
Okay.
So a bar, right. Some loungy areas, and then dining tables in the back, and people were sitting there. And then I was kind of in the common area adjacent to all of this, and I could hear that dog in the restaurant was just woofing away. It was pretty hilarious. John, nowadays, 630 texted and said, John, how old were the owners of that dog? Millennials have a way of not caring about anyone but themselves.
That's ridiculous.
I'm sorry.
We
have to stop making that the default. Oh, is it a millennial? Elif, that's not you. It's not my sons.
Right.
We have to stop doing that. Was it a millennial? I'm sure it was a millennial. Similarly, we need to stop saying, oh, how old was that guy? I'll bet he was a boomer. Because you get that, too. Nice try, boomer. About food. Oh, by the way, Steve Bertrand, just one quick note here about Marriage Story, the movie that I loved and you did not.
Mm-hmm.
619, Marriage Story was great, but it was difficult to watch. I cried like a baby. The next text, Marriage Story is terrible. I watched it because of you, John. Now I've lost all faith in your taste in movies.
Well, you would think that had happened a long time ago.
Yeah, no kidding. That's on you. 708, when we were talking about Hallmark Channel pulling the Zola ads because that wedding site showed gay couples sometimes kissing in their commercials.
I love that interview you did with him. The guy started, well, first let me tell you all about Zola.
I know. I'm like, dude, you have 4 minutes in Chicago. Tell us the story. We are catered to all. Stop it. Buy an ad. That's what this is about. 708, John, how is being gay a liberal thing? Do people think liberals invented homosexuality? It's biological, people. We were talking about restaurants and how do you split the check. So this was from CNN. And the problem with anybody writing about restaurants and money is that people who write tend to be journalists. Journalists don't have any money. So they always tend to be conservative with their cash. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that, and that's a lot of people. But you always know what you're going to get from journalists. This from CNN.com. During a recent end-of-the-meal math session, one person attempted to be fair and divvy up the check. Out of a group of 10, two people didn't drink. One person had their meal comped because it arrived late, and another person didn't take part in the shared melted cheese appetizers. The math was more perplexing than my senior year calculus class. I argue that they all partook in the same social experience. It's an experience full of conversations and laughs, and no one had to pretend they wanted to help clean the dishes afterwards. Sure, we all had different foods, but we all had the same experience. Worse, getting the math wrong could lead to an argument or to hurt feelings. It's nearly impossible to be fair to everyone. Vegetarian meals often cost less than meat-centered ones. Will you allow for that? What about the folks who just got an $8 beer versus those who guzzled cocktails at $20 a pop? I've been to that movie just this weekend. We were out with friends. I had a Manhattan. Nobody else had a cocktail. I ordered the olive plate. I thought everybody would like olives as an hors d'oeuvre. And while they did, I ate most of them, and I think that was an accommodation to me. So what do you do about that?
So is that person saying that everyone should split the check evenly?
Yes.
Regardless? Okay.
Yes. Yeah, because it's just too complicated with all of these different options.
Well, sometimes with new technology and everything, you can do separate checks, and it makes life so much. We went out with a group of like 12 girls the other night.
Oh, gee. That's 12 different problems.
Exactly. And the guy was so nice that he was just like, hey, I'm going to do separate checks. He told us right off the bat.
Really?
He took a look at us and went, oh, boy. He said, yep, separate checks for all of you. And he was so great. And, you know, then I don't feel guilty ordering stuff that I want or whatever. Yeah, I like it so much better. If they accommodate that,
well, if they volunteer to do that, then I guess it's easy. I mean, because he has to do the work, and he's volunteered to do it.
And he didn't make one mistake. He called us number one, number two. We each had a number. I was number 8.
And you're able to order what you want or extravagantly or inexpensively and not feel bad about it.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so then in this same article, they make the case for no, you need to itemize regardless of what the waiter says. I'll get to that in just a minute. The Three Bears after the Bears game today. I still call them the Three Bears. It's Kozlowski, it's Obradovich, it's Hampton. And then the affable Mark Carmen, who has to juggle that thing and then make it a radio show, too. Mark Harmon does a great job on that. And they always come on after the Bears game, and they just scream into the microphones for about 3 hours and eat pizza. I find it entertaining. It didn't happen this week, though, because we had Northwestern basketball. So Pete McMurray did about an hour, and then Dave Ennett did the Northwestern basketball game, which was all swell, but I was looking for... And then I thought, nah, I don't even know if I want to hear it. The season's over. No sense complaining. I do think they should invite Nagy onto their show at some point. That would be an interesting kumbaya to me. And also, let's just say one thing and then we'll move on. Mitch Trubisky, I'm coming around. I think actually he's going to get better. He got better as the season went along. And here's what I loved about Mitch Trubisky in yesterday's game. The very last play, he was navigating that broken field, knowing that if he doesn't make this happen, we lose and the season's over. And he almost pulled it off.
Can you believe that? I've never... Well, it did happen. It was the Auburn-Alabama game, right? It happened, I think, one time. But I could not believe how close they came.
It was the most entertaining... I mean, like, at the end of the day, I want the Bears to win, but I want to be entertained. That was entertaining. That was a really fun play.
They do say they practice that play, though.
They must, right?
Yes, yes.
Did you guys talk about that, Mary? They must.
With Cohen, yeah. He was really miffed after that. He really wanted it to work.
That was so close.
It was.
And frankly, it was set up to work. There were two guys to lateral the ball to at the five-yard line.
It was like they weren't looking
and
or something.
And we didn't do it.
Yeah, they didn't get it to him.
And I think that guy thought, oh, I'm going to score. I'm going to be the hero. No, he should have lateraled it off. It's easy to say that now.
And well, they still had two more points they had to do.
Right. And then I thought, well, who says we're going to make the two-point Dominican version.
Oh, that's in the bag.
Nothing. You know, once upon a time, the Bears had a guy named Devin Hester, who still has a lot of Bears records. And in the open field on a punt or kick return, he was amazing. My idea was that when the Bears were struggling, this was during the Cutler days, right? Instead of just hiking it to Cutler and then doing whatever he was going to do, put Hester about 20 yards back and just whip the ball back there and just say, okay, son, have at it. And he would just do something amazing. And it would either be very fun or very successful.
So every play would be like a faux punt return?
Yes. I would throw it back 30 yards and say, catch him. That's kind of what we had yesterday. I thought, well, we need more of this. When it comes to the weather, we all want to know, what did Skillings say? Watch for updated forecasts from Chicago's most trusted meteorologist, Tom Skilling. Weeknights on WGN-TV. Don't forget now. Here's a holiday message for you multitaskers who are too busy to get everything done. It's overwhelming. Lou Malnati's has the holiday hassle-free way to go. Take a deep breath and repeat the simple mantra, Lou to go. Lou to go. It was easy, wasn't it? It's even easier. Just grab your phone, call 1-800-LOU-TO-GO, or visit loutogo.com. Next thing you know, Lou Malnati's deep dish pizza will be made from scratch, flash frozen, UPS shipped on dry ice, to preserve its one-of-a-kind taste to anyone still on your gift list, coast to coast. Lou's won't penalize you for last-minute shopping either. Order now, and you don't pay extra for shipping. So just repeat the mantra, 1-800-LOU-TO-GO, or visit loutogo.com. 24/7 online, loutogo.com, or 1-800-LOU-TO-GO. Robert, you're on WGN Radio. What can we do for you? You're on the air.
Hello.
Hi.
I just like to say separate checks is the idea, because then it's not a contest. People don't have to worry. You know, if you're a lower income level and you want to treat yourself, you shouldn't feel guilty that other people are, you know, are subsidizing you or vice versa. You know, just, you know, arrange it ahead of time and say, hey, everybody, separate checks. No problem. You know,
funny you say that, because in this expert article at CNN, that's what they say. If you're going to do separate checks, that's fine. You need to tell everybody, like, before you sit down, hey, guys, separate
right.
checks. You need
exactly.
to know that. Yeah. And then everybody
yeah, don't
orders.
Don't be shy about it.
Right. And order accordingly. Hey, Robert, thanks for the phone call. Have a good day. Rick, go ahead, Elif.
Can I just address that text message from before the break?
Which one?
About how you should contribute all the same amount regardless of what you ate or drank.
That's where I am.
Well, I disagree, because what if you just want to hang out with your family and or friends
right.
and you can't afford that much? It's like, if you've seen the Friends episode, maybe you haven't. I won't dwell on that. But my family, my cousins wanted to go out for lunch one day, and I started crying because it was a rough time in my life where I didn't have
enough money to really go out with
right.
them.
Right, and I wanted to hang out with them, but I couldn't. So they paid for me anyway because they felt bad.
I guess every situation's unique, Elif.
Yeah.
If in that case you went there and just had a glass of wine, say. I mean, have you ever done that? Like, you're not there for the whole meal. You're just popping in or out or whatever.
And then you just pick off other people's plates.
And then you eat their fries. You know, maybe you drop $10 and say, okay, that's my share. Maybe they cover it. I mean, in your circumstance, I wouldn't have felt guilty at all. But it just seems to me like part of the meal should not be that awkward, everybody looks at everybody, what did you have? Now, if the restaurant says, oh, please let us give you separate checks, I've not been to that place. You know, Mary, you said the guy
yep.
came in and just said, hey, separate checks, ladies.
And it's so much more, you're so much more comfortable during the entire meal. You're not sitting there waiting for the check to come and then everybody looking at each other going, who's going to take it? Is anybody going to take it? Are we going to split it? What are we going to do? It's just uncomfortable.
And the math gets awkward, so then sometimes I'll say, because I've had an extra cocktail or I had the steak, I'll say I'll get the tip. But that's not smooth. The other day, we were with some people, and they had tickets to the show. We owed them for the tickets. We all sat down to dinner. We just said, we'll buy the dinner. You got the tickets. It's about the same. Maybe there's a difference. Somebody's paying more, somebody's paying less, but we're here for the evening in each other's company. We all have enough money to be able to make that decision without worrying about the $10 that, like somebody said in this article, some people don't have the income to afford that. If you're not careful, you can go home with that burning sensation in your pocket, said Pete Wilkinson in CNN. It need not be so difficult to get it right. More than a few of you are reminding me that there are apps for this now, too. I don't know how those work, but okay. The main thing to remember, he writes, is that you should never agree to split the bill equally with your fellow diners. Never do what I just advocated. It's just wide open for abuse. Because while you might choose from the menu frugally, selecting tap water in an omelet, for example, and can I just insert this? If you're going to go out with your friends and it's brunch, brunches are really expensive these days because they're all boozy. If you get the water in an omelet and you're out for $12, everybody else is going to have $25 on their bill. I would suggest that if all you're going to order is water in an omelet because you can't afford anything else, I hate to say this, but then you should decline the invitation. You can't afford to go. You can't afford to go. Isn't that terrible? But I think that's, it's not like you're not going to enjoy their company again, but you just can't afford to eat at that restaurant.
That's where the separate checks come in so great.
You wouldn't go to that restaurant by yourself, and don't go if you're with your friends.
No, I think you just say right up from the beginning, like kind of like, Elif, look, I'm not going to order that much, so I just want to pay for myself.
I guess. He said the second moral dilemma for today's diner is when a cherished friend or an aged or benevolent parent, listen to this, takes you out for a fancy meal. They say, okay, sky's the limit. Eat what you want, drink what you want, money's no object, my treat. Don't you love that? And then you're sitting there thinking, okay, well now do I run the register on this guy because he said that? Or should I appreciate that he's going to buy my dinner, period, and still get the chicken? Just get one glass of wine. Don't order the dessert. You know, like, pretend it was your money. Because you're not there for their cash, you're there for their company. The expert in this case said, should you order sky's the limit? Hell yes. Fill your boots.
No.
Reading it. You never know when you'll eat again, and it's a long time until breakfast. You see, just as with the first situation where you said, here's the rules, separate checks, if they said, here's the rules, I'm picking up the check and I want you to order anything you want, that's the rules. Play by the rules. I don't think that's me.
Well, anything you want is different from running up the bill, right?
Yeah, but I would love to have a really nice $45 okay. steak.
All right, I got to.
But I don't think I'm going to do that. Frankly, I want to be in that situation. I'll report back to you when it happens. But usually I'm the guy making... My children make enough money now in their full-time jobs, at least one of them does and his wife does, that I've kind of waited for that magical moment where I drop my card and he says, hey... Well, we'll just, why are you taking us out? We all have income.
That hasn't happened yet?
Not with the kind of consistency that I thought would happen by now.
I'm sure one day I'll pay for my parents' meal.
I know. Here's the thing. And as an adult child, I'm also paying, when I go out, the rare instances, Brenda and I take my folks out or they want to go out, we pick up that check too. It seems like I'm getting it coming and going. I do believe this. If I said to either of them, certainly my son and daughter-in-law, let's split the check, of course they would, in a heartbeat. I haven't suggested it yet, and I just don't want to do that. So that's on me, right? Okay, your calls about this. On line three is John. Hey, John, you're on WGN. How are you?
Good, I'm fine. Great holiday.
Happy holidays.
I've been a waiter in Chicago for 26, 27 years. I've never worked in a place yet that if there's six people or more, you can get separate checks. You don't get separate checks if there's six people or more in all the places I have worked at.
I think that's unusual, yeah. I mean, it worked for Mary, but and as a waiter, you don't want that either, right?
No, but that's how it is. No separate checks. If they're all together, let the people figure it out themselves if there's six or more, because it's just too confusing when somebody... ordered this, and no, I bought that one drink for them, so now I want that on my tab, and it just, so instead of the waiter getting in the problem, we let the people have the problem.
That's John the waiter. Thank you for the call.
But don't you, when you get separate checks, you get separate tips as well. I would think you would get more tips.
That's interesting, although maybe you all figure that, but then some people calculate with the tax, some people don't. Everybody's got a different number. I try not to look, and I try to hide my tips so that there's not that awkward moment. By the way, about millennials bringing their dogs into restaurants, John, millennials are the cause of all of society's problems. You have to stop saying this. You have to stop texting this. They are not. Remember, they think the same about boomers. They're inheriting your earth, and it ain't perfect either, Jack.
Your debt.
Yeah, amen to that. Soon we'll do a segment on the extra trillion we just ran up. 630, we started watching The Marriage Story and after 30 minutes had to turn it off. 773, Adam Driver is Ross Geller incarnate. I cannot stand him. He was so terrible in Star Wars, didn't like Marriage Story.
I love Adam Driver.
I do too. I think he's good just walking down the hall. Let's pick up with Dave. You're on WGN. Hi, Dave. You're on the air.
Good morning. How are you today?
Good. Talk to us. What's on your mind?
I just had this restaurant dilemma last week. The last year, I've been struggling with reduction in income. So I've been trying to change my lifestyle a little bit on what I can afford when I go out.
Yeah.
And I was with a bunch of people at a dog show last week in Rosemont. And one of the people that I go there with is very generous, and she really likes picking up the check. And the plan was that some of the people were going to go to Gibson's afterwards, that she was going to treat it, and I got extended an invitation, and I actually chose not to go.
Just to accommodate the group and her, huh?
Right. Well, the fact is that, you know, she, as I said, she's a very generous person, and, you know, she actually went out the night before, and she picked up the check, you know, for a group of four of us, and it was based within the guys that the other woman that I was with and I actually helped her out, but it would have been two nights in a row, and it is just, in my opinion, I, you know, being generous is one thing, and you know, I think that being a leech is something else too. You know,
well,
do you know what she's doing this weekend?
You're a good man. It's nice of you to call and be that way. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks.
Have a good day. 630, John, I just always pay the tab for everyone. If you can afford that, some people, and you can, but it's still a bite in the butt. Some people just do that. Ah, skip it. I'll just pick up the ticket. John, Highwood Restaurant for special Christmas seating. Couples and singles, separate checks. Unfortunately, they just randomly put different items on different checks. We just paid whatever we were given. John, I was working as a server and had a regular group of about eight golfing guys who came in every Friday, and each guy always ordered a burger and an iced tea or an Arnold Palmer. Each guy's lunch totaled $11.95. They always got separate checks. FYI, with today's POS systems restaurants have, it is literally a press of a button to issue separate checks. It is no longer a big problem. Let's see. I can't read the name. Is that Diane on line 5? What's on line 5 there, Elif? Hello, you're on WGN. Who are you? Gia.
Hi. Hi, John. How are you?
Good. You're on the air. What did you want to say?
Well, I travel a lot just like you guys, and a lot of European restaurants have these devices that bring to a table, and you literally pick the meals you order, you swipe your card, you can even add a tip. The same thing, a couple of restaurants, they have the same thing in Chicago. I don't know, can I mention the names or not?
Sure, yeah, do.
But, so Uncle Julio's have the same thing. You have a group of people coming to the restaurant, and they literally bring the device, you pick the meal you order, you add a tip to it, you swipe your card, and just give it to the next person. They do the same thing. So, boom, done.
And then you don't have to wait for the check either, do you?
You don't have to wait a check. You just literally leave the device on the table.
I love that. And I love all of that.
And you leave.
Yeah.
Exactly. I don't like the restaurant. I wish all of them could have that. But, yeah, that would be the perfect, you know.
Wait, you don't like Uncle Julio's or you do like Uncle Julio's?
No, I don't. No.
Bummer. Go there anyway. It's very easy.
I know, right? And I have a bunch of, but we have like a 5 girls who go once a month. It's really a struggle sometimes to add everything in taxes and tips and all this stuff. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
We have 21st century. We are a big country, and we're still behind on technology sometimes when it comes to service. It's very sad.
Oh, terrific call. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for listening.
Of course. Have a good day.
Have a good day. That's kind of, a friend of mine was just at that place with some friends for the first time and thought the food was terrific, or at least good enough. which is a thing. Mary Wisniewski writes about transportation in the Chicago Tribune. She wrote today about this possible Hyperloop system. Forget about the O'Hare to downtown thing, but what about downtown to Cleveland or Pittsburgh? Heck, take it to New York if they could get it all the way through the mountains. But never mind that. That would go maybe 400, 500, 600, 700 miles an hour. You could get there in 30 minutes if it happened. Before we go back to that CTA conversation you and I are about to have, what is the probability? What's a timeline for this Hyperloop?
This report that came out today that looked at the feasibility of it and was done by a transportation research firm, figures build out 2023 to 2028. So possibly it could be done by 2028.
You're serious?
That's what they say. But first, you know, they haven't tested the technology with people yet.
I really want them to do that.
Yeah, Hyperloop TT is planning to do that in Toulouse, France, in the first part of next year. And one of the things that was cool that I found out is there's a 101-year-old French woman, Henriette Audouin, who is, you know, loves the idea of this new technology, and she wants to be one of the first riders.
And so that's... What a great story if that lights a sort of a fire underneath them and gets them to move quickly, because she's 101
right,
years
yeah,
old.
Right, yeah, that's what the CEO told me. We better hurry up.
This isn't a 10-year project. I can't believe they have to lay new track, put a cover on it, and then get some fangled train on there with stations to go 600 miles an hour.
It would be how it was described to me as being kind of like the body of a regional jet. So, you know, 28 to 40 people, it would be that kind of style. And and they've already got that built. They just have to send it through.
Well, the picture in your article looks like a Concorde.
Yeah, it's a pretty sleek looking.
Yeah, I know. But the Concorde was also famously narrow, too. I mean, would there be enough room for people?
I couldn't imagine they'd be able to sell this if it was uncomfortable.
Right. Yeah, no kidding. Speaking of trains, we're talking about the L. You're a Blue Line person. You say that's right. Thing's packed, right?
It is, especially with these new developments up around California and Logan Square. That's where the real crowds come on.
And your point about that was what?
Well, the CTA is upgrading the tracks and upgrading its power system so that it can allow more trains per hour on that system, which will ease the crowds. The
other thing, that's a power issue.
Right. And the other thing they've done is put in some different kinds of cars on there that allow for a bit more room for people to squeeze on.
In the newsroom is Steve Bertrand.
Hi.
I thought you were going to say something, Steve. I thought you were about don't ask a question if you don't have one, Steve. I thought I heard you were getting ready to ask a question.
No, that was not me.
Okay, well, it is me. By the way, 773 texted in and said, just improve the Blue Line instead. We don't need no hyper tunnel pipe dream.
Right.
312, what about improving Blue Line stations? The one at Grand and Milwaukee is filthy, smelly, and no escalator to street level.
They are working on those. Grand Division in Chicago, they're planning on having rehab stations next year. They're working on them now. I agree that those stations are like the film noir stations of the whole system.
But is your experience like mine? When I ride the Red Line from downtown to Lakeview, if I ride at the wrong time, which is the right time, it's
rush hour, right?
Any, like, you know, what is that? 7 to 9 in the morning and 4:30 to 6:30 in the
right.
evening. I will sometimes wait 2, 3, 4 trains.
Oh yeah,
they
yeah.
open up. Nobody gets on or off. There's no room for any more humanity in there. Closes next train. Next.
Right.
What is the solution to that?
The CTA is working on that in the Red Line right now with the Red Purple Modernization Project, where they're going to build new stations, but they're also going to improve the a crossover at Belmont by running Brown Line trains up and over a northbound Brown Line train, so that they don't have to all wait at that station at that junction at the same time.
So they'd be able to run more trains.
They'd be able to run more trains, and it would improve the whole system all the way down the line. This is the $2.1 billion project.
When will that be done?
Another 5 years.
Really?
But, there's going to be a lot of construction, so we'll be watching it happen.
Hyperloop to Cleveland about the time this thing gets fixed.
Well, the Hyperloop to Cleveland won't get started though until 2023. They've already started the Red Line project.
Yeah. Right. Well, my frustration is all of that. And I thought, well, maybe they just need more cars on the train, but it takes the length of the platform.
Right.
You couldn't put any more cars on there.
You couldn't because of the way the L is built. The other problem is they can't really change the structure of the cars because of the way the L was originally designed. It has to squeeze through a lot of tight corners. So you can't have the more capacious cars that they have, let's say, in Toronto.
Or even taller cars, maybe.
Right,
you
yeah.
could do double-deckers in
yeah,
some
you
places.
Can't, so they're restricted by the way the tracks are. So the best they can do is run more trains through, and that's what they want to do.
So I've reached out to the head of the CTA, whose name I don't know.
Dorval Carter.
And how's Dorval Carter?
Dorval Carter is doing well enough that the that Lori Lightfoot wanted to keep him on when she came in.
I don't know Dorval Carter, and I don't know really what the options are for them. Is my criticism, my frustration with the Red Line experience, it's valid because it's the truth, but maybe it's not fair to criticize these people because they're doing all they can.
They know it's a problem, and that's why they're doing this red-purple line modernization. That's going to be such a big deal, and it's going to really change the way Lakeview looks because it's going to have this, you know, this big track running over the other red-purple line tracks at Belmont. So it's gonna be a little bit like a roller coaster.
Well, they were buying houses up and buildings up
right,
around
yeah,
there, right?
Yeah, that's pretty much all done. They've taken out the buildings that they need to take out. You know, they're putting the caissons in the soil to make the supports for the new system. And this is a giant project, and they're finally getting it, you know, started.
It's funny how in the news, when there's a story about somebody getting shot or injured or killed or some violent action happens on the west side or the south side, it happens. It gets reported. But the reaction doesn't seem to be all that seismic. If it happens on an L stop or at an L station that is in on the north side or northwest side, well, now we've got to do something about it. I found myself falling prey to that sort of attitude. When it happens at Belmont, when it happens at Addison, when it happens at Wilson, some of the places that I'm familiar with, I think, oh, my God, what's going on here? I told Steve Bertrand the other day, they need to have police on those platforms.
Well, I did a story with my colleague Joe Marr a few months back about the increase in crime on CTA trains, and the police are looking to put more police not just on the platforms but on the trains.
On the trains themselves,
right.
which I never see.
Yeah, they've added personnel on that, and you might be interested to know that one of the higher crime areas as far as pickpocketing and especially taking cell phones is actually the Clark and Lake station, which is where everybody goes through.
Clark and Lake, so
right.
That's all the different lines intersect there.
All the different
there.
Lines intersect there, so really watch yourself. And
so you could jump off and jump on a different
right,
car,
exactly.
a different line, in
you
other
know,
words.
We have kind of this idea in our minds of crime, you know, happens in crime-ridden parts of the city, but where, you know, a lot of the CTA crime happens in those very busy stations, so you really have to be careful.
And what did I see? It's over a million trips a week or a day on the CTA.
It's a very, very busy system. It's the second busiest system in the United States after New York's.
To which I say, then, whatever the expense, we can justify having a cop or, I don't know, maybe it's a security guard, but I need more than just some young person with a vest. I need some person with authority, right? And I want them walking up and down the cars while they roll. Maybe not everyone, but I've been riding the CTA for 3 years, 6 days a week now, and I'll bet I've seen that once.
They're actually, the crime on the CTA is, when you think about how big the system is and how many people ride it every day, your chances of getting, you know, pickpocketed or anything happening are still pretty low. It's pretty much the population of Philadelphia, you know, going up and down and around the city all day long.
So watch me speak with forked tongue then, because I love my CTA, mm-hmm. and I think it is a good system.
Yeah.
Do you agree?
Oh, yeah. I couldn't imagine, you know, the city functioning at all without the CTA. We're so lucky to have what we have here.
So if you were to prioritize what needs to happen to make it better, your blue line notwithstanding.
Yeah, I think what they're doing is these are things that have to happen. There have to be more trains running. The other thing they're working on that does have to be happen is more priority bus lanes. Because one of the problems is that buses get caught in this molasses soup of traffic that we have all over the place. And, you know, some people can't take the L all the time. They come from places where the L doesn't run and they need to take the bus. And if you're ever on a Chicago Avenue bus mm-hmm. at rush hour, you know pain.
What's the point? Well, and here's a shout out to the lady that runs the Addison stop at the Red Line where I go. She's delightful in the morning. I don't know, do you have a relationship,
a hello relationship with the
people in your staff?
Definitely.
And that's so nice. Mm-hmm. And I'm not faulting any of the mainline workers in the system. My experience has been good.
And can you imagine the kind of junk they have to put up with
know,
on a day-to-day basis?
I know. Yeah, no kidding. Mary Wisniewski, very interesting story. Not about this today, but about this Hyperloop system, Chicago to Cleveland, and the Tribune, chicagotribune.com. If you do not already, today would be a good day to subscribe to a newspaper. Nice to see you, Mary.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for coming in. Good Monday morning. Hope it's a good one for you. This is John Williams, and happy holidays. We're in the thick of it now. So I've had in mind for the last couple of weeks the idea, watching all the Christmas movies, to take all of the scenes, I've been meaning to do this, where Clark Griswold's house gets damaged in Christmas Vacation. I've often wondered what it would be like for him to fix it up. You know, in the movie, the tree burns down, and then the next scene, everything's fine. The cat fries through the carpeting, and then the next scene, the carpeting is fine. The guttering falls off, and they don't seem to worry about it, and later the guttering's fine. I thought, no, that's like $200. That's like a guy, that's like $800. This is expensive what happens to his house. And I really wanted to know because I feel so bad for Clark. This is how I live. Our Mr. Fix-It, Lou Manfredini, is on the phone. Hi, Lou. How are you?
I'm good, and I am a little concerned about you, but that's okay. We've been friends a long time.
You watch this movie and tell me if you don't have anxiety.
Well, but I mean, the contractor in me goes, hey, that's money that somebody can make.
I'm not denying him that, but it's still money that Clark, if he hadn't fallen off the roof, wouldn't have to spend. And you've never watched the movie.
No. I've watched the movie. I've seen the movie. It is not my go-to movie. Like, you know, a lot of people have the go-to movies. And so for me, of course, It's a Wonderful Life, where I can quote it, you know, chapter and verse.
I know.
But I have seen the movie. And then when you hatch this idea, I'm like, okay, well, I need to go back specifically because, you know, unlike you, I was looking at the movie for its entertainment and humor value. And you go to the next round and going like, wow, who's going to pay for all this?
When he is stapling...
This is the guy that cuts his neighbor's lawn and then, like, resods the parkway that doesn't belong to him.
I did both of those things last year. Let me ask you this. When he is stapling the lights, he's got that staple gun, and he's stapling the lights to the shingles of the roof.
Correct.
What do you think of that?
Well, I mean, depending on the length of the staples, he might be okay. But it's not the best idea. It would not be something that I would recommend. And I mean, now, you know, the thing that Clark Griswold didn't have that we have now is we have LED light bulbs. And so that whole, like, killing the whole neighborhood when he plugs it all in probably wouldn't happen now.
Okay, so it does sound like you've watched the movie. I was really angry at you, and I thought I knew Lou. I thought, oh, I had a friend named Lou Manfredini, but I don't know a Lou Manfredini anymore.
No. I've watched it. I don't think you have, though.
Have you sat down and watched it from beginning to end without getting up?
Well, I'm a 55-year-old man. I mean, I think that
ever
sitting for 90 minutes and not getting up, I don't think is really is probably going to happen. Yes, I have.
All right. Well, I've got all...
Hey, I have an idea. How about I do it before Thursday, and then I come up with a list of how much it would cost to make all the repairs on Clark Griswold's house.
Okay, so that's the idea. We're going to do that on Thursday's show. I'm going to... Elif, do you have one? Here's an example of what it will sound like. This is the first instance of damage to the Griswold property.
On the first day of Christmas, Mr. Fix-It gave to me...
Ready? I give you the Griswold family Christmas tree.
A lot of sap in here. It looks great. A little full.
A lot of sap. So we're not going to replace...
That's funny.
Your laugh sounds like Clark Griswold's laugh.
It does. When he's buying the lingerie,
yes,
that's the same laugh. So... But listen, the interior, I'm not replacing the lamps. I'm not replacing... I might do the drapes, but I'm not replacing tables, china... That stuff I'm not worried about. But he just...
Well, we got to place a window.
So what do you think that's going to cost him?
Oh, I mean, I...
That was one replacement window.
Yeah, one replacement window. It's at least $1,000.
Okay. And then later...
Especially this time of year.
What do you mean, this time of year?
Well, I mean, you'd want it repaired right away, and so it'd be a rush order. You'd pay a premium for that.
Yeah. Well, you know a lot of people in the business.
I could get it done, sure.
I'm not asking you for a Lou Manfredini discount. I want you to tell me if I go to who's one of our fine window sponsors?
Gilkey. If we go to Gilkey Windows.
Next door. And
or next door. Or Gilkey. Right. Yours would be next door. Mine would be Gilkey. So that the great thing is you could get two estimates.
But
that way you can choose which one you want to do. I like that. John, we're not just giving people one choice. We're giving them multiple choices.
But you need to come in with prices for me, Lou. And what's it going to cost?
Yes, sir.
You?
I will.
When he cuts the newel post off, I don't even know what that is, but the top of the handrail of the steps going up to the top.
Oh, yeah. It's a Wonderful Life.
He just saws that off in frustration late in the movie. I'm thinking right. We just crazy glue that, wood glue that back down. But
wood glue, we could wood glue and clamp it. Sure, we could fix it because it was a clean cut, and then we do a little wood putty, and we're good to go. That not an expensive fix.
But I'll need glue and putty then. Right.
I'll get you all the pricing.
Okay. We're going to do this on Thursday.
Less than $10.
Okay, good. Well, that's good. Now we're at $1,010. So we're going to do this next Thursday. I'll walk you through all. And by the way, Lou, just one last note. I know you got to go.
This Thursday.
I only have 11 things that have happened. So including at the very end when they blow up the yard. I don't know if there's costs that you think should be taken
care of. Well, sure. Landscaping, absolutely.
All right.
Landscape, we've got to fix the curb. They blew out the curb, the sidewalk. I mean, the city's going to get involved now. There's going to be fines. I mean, this is a thing. At this point, we're moving.
Really? We're not fixing, we're selling. All right, so you and I Thursday, let's shoot for the 11 o'clock hour. Or does that work
Perfect.
For you? All right.
Perfect.
I'll talk to you Thursday, my friend.
Love you.
That's Lou Manfredini. He's your Mr. Fix-It and ours too. And we'll do that Thursday here on WGN. We've walked through all of what I determined to be 11 instances of damage that Mr. Fix-It needs. Maybe you'll come up with one that we missed. It's 11:19. After the 11:30 edition of WGN Radio News, our Monday Mega Quiz. The Monday Morning Mega Quiz always has to do with something in Chicago, and we usually try and keep it seasonal or topical. We did a Bears one the other day. I've been watching all of these movies, and I thought, a lot of great movies have Chicago stars in them. And so then I started to make my Chicago Film Star Quiz. We'll do that at 11:33. You any good at that? Pete McMurray's on the phone. You hear him weekends and at other times on WGN. How are you, Pete?
Good, man. I'd love to be a part of the Lou Manfredini, whatever he's doing. I love Lou, and I want to fix it.
Okay, you weren't listening. You don't even know what I'm talking about, do you?
Yeah, I do. You're figuring out how much it's going to cost for the 12 days of Christmas?
Right.
Is that right?
To get it fixed.
I love it, but can we all get together and maybe fix something together? I know you two like to have drinks around the holidays. I'm in 100%.
Yeah. So you want to be there for the drinking part. Is that what you're telling me?
Of course, yes. Yeah, I'll bring the fun.
I'm going to do my Monday mega quiz. Let me bounce one of them off of you just to sort of preview for our audience what we're going to do in 15 minutes. You ready?
All right.
You can answer correctly or as correctly as you can. Do give me your best shot at this one. What star am I talking about from Chicago? From the Northwest Side, she attended Notre Dame High School for Girls in Chicago. And for 5 years, worked as an oncology nurse at Northwestern Memorial Hospital. She's been at every opening day at Wrigley Field since 1977. She's a Second City alum. How you doing on this one? You got it yet?
Joan Cusack?
Nope. 15 years ago, a story in the Tribune said she made a more permanent mark on pop culture. In her 32nd appearance in the presidential comedy Dave, she was the White House tour guide, moving tourists along, saying,
We're walking.
That's her.
Yes, who is that?
You loved her in Rain Man. You loved her in Jerry Maguire as Renee Zellweger's older sister.
Oh, Bonnie.
Sure. Hunt.
Yes.
Now, this is going to be
Love
more difficult
Bonnie.
Than I thought. Okay.
Love Bonnie.
Bonnie Hunt is the one. By the way, go ahead, Pete.
Jerry Maguire, the older sister. That was it.
Yeah. Right. So if I'd started with that, you would have had it right away. I was kind of building to that. I went over this with my Saturday producer, Griffin, and he said, give them the Jerry Maguire stuff up front. Let them get it,
yes.
And then give them the data on the other side. I'm not sure.
I like that.
Yeah. By the way, I was thinking about you this weekend. I asked
you. So were you?
Pete, I asked you to jump on with me today only because you are the keeper now of pictures of people bringing their dogs into restaurants and businesses, right?
I don't know when that happened, but my radar is up now, and I do notice it.
Where were you this weekend that you sent me a picture shopping for clothes?
I was at Marshall's downtown yesterday. After I got off the air, I went to Marshall's because I needed some dress socks. And I walked in and I saw the dog. And I'm like, I have to send this to John right away.
Right.
So I took a picture. You can't bring a dog into a clothing store. What are people thinking?
Okay, so I don't
especially
know.
Especially that dog, it sheds.
You, excuse me?
That dog sheds.
Sheds. Good. Okay, good. Sheds. Kinda, we were worried about that. Okay, so this is from a restaurant I was at last night. I just ran video so that I could play the audio for you. Tell me if you hear the dogs in this restaurant. I didn't, honest to God, that's not me making that up. That's the restaurant.
Loud and clear.
I don't know.
We had this conversation last week.
I know.
Leave them at home, especially at restaurants. They're going to bark because they want food. You're eating. They want to eat.
There's no, maybe that's it. Their noses must be going crazy. And they're like, hey, you're having steak?
Yeah.
I'd like a steak. Steak. Steak.
Right. Maybe there's something down the road that we can do in the spring that everybody can bring their dog to that you host. I'll show up with my dog, Wrigley Field McMurray.
Right.
Other listeners can bring their dogs. Maybe there's a dog meetup somewhere.
Yeah, right. I'll bring Daisy, the Dizzy Dapple Dachshund, maybe. She's terrified of Earth, so I'm not sure that she's going to function well in this. But the idea would be, I mean, I don't know, maybe we walk them through a Home Depot. We do a Home Depot day with the dogs, so you can scratch that itch. But otherwise, you should not bring your dogs indoors.
Right. No.
When do I hear you on the radio again, Pete McMurray?
Tomorrow night at 7.
Good, man.
Yes.
All right. Yeah. Stay well. I just wanted to share that audio with you. And if you have any problems with dogs in buildings, Pete McMurray's your guy.
Have him call me directly. I love it.
Okay. Take care, Pete.
See you, man. Bye.
So in finding the story, do I have time here, Elif? Do I need to take a break? How are we doing? I think I can do this. Was reading about Bonnie Hunt. So just an example of a celebrity from Chicago. So this story ran in the Tribune in 2003. But it is so interesting because there they tell us the story that she is a nurse. She doesn't play a nurse on TV. She is a nurse, the native of Chicago, grew up the sixth of seven children in a blue-collar neighborhood in the northwest section of the city. It was going to be a temporary occupation. Sitting in a Beverly Hills hotel suite during a promotional stop for a new movie, a comedy in which she played the mother of 12, Hunt said she loved nursing, but only thought of it as a temporary assignment. From an early age, she said, I wanted to be a storyteller. I just wanted to write and put on a show. So when she graduated from high school, she approached her father, a city electrician known for being a strict disciplinarian, said she was going to move to California and be a writer. But you're such a good nurse, her father said. She had been a candy striper. Why don't you go to nursing school? In the Hunt household, that was not interpreted as a suggestion. The Hunt children always obeyed their father, and young Bonnie immediately enrolled in nursing school. Shortly after she began nursing school, her father died. He'd had a heart attack. He was 50. I was so angry at God for taking my father from me that I marched up to my mother before the funeral and I told her I was going to quit nursing school. I just wanted to stop living. My mother was very understanding, and she told me to go one more week to classes and then I could quit. Nursing school was divided between classwork and shifts in the hospital, and Hunt was assigned to the cancer ward. The patient whom she cared for was a middle-aged man dying of cancer. They struck up a friendship. His name was Mr. O'Brien, she said, and he told me that he was thankful that he'd had enough time to say goodbye to his family. On about the third or fourth day, he started talking about this friend at work who died suddenly, and he never got a chance to say goodbye to him. He said this was a great family man who always was talking about his kids. One day, Mr. O'Brien was talking about this man as I was reading his chart, and I noticed he worked for the city, and I told him that my father had worked for the city, and I wondered if he knew him. I told him my father's name, Bob Hunt. His jaw dropped. He said, "That's the man I've been telling you about." She said she took it as a sign from God. She stayed in school. I took care of Mr. O'Brien for 3 more months until he died. and then I finished school. 5 years, she was an oncology nurse, went into acting late. Bonnie Hunt of Chicago. Okay, so I've given you one of the answers. You don't need to know all of that, but I couldn't resist sharing that old article with you that I discovered.
That gave me chills.
Isn't that such a story? Okay, but just boom, boom, boom. I'll describe the movie or the scene or something about them. You tell me who these stars are after the news. Lifeline from Mary Vandeveld. You can get a lifeline from Steve Bertrand. Maybe Elif will give you an assist, too. Let's see how well you do on our Mega Monday quiz. In fact, call right now. Caller 15, you get to play. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. The theme is famous Chicagoans in the movies. Seems like we're all watching movies these days. First, let's do the news.
It is 27 degrees at O'Hare at 11:30. Good morning. This news sponsored by VictoryAutoWreckers.com. I'm Steve Bertrand. Boeing considers the future of the 737 MAX. First, a look at the traffic. Here's Mary Vandeveld.
And not too bad traveling on the Edens or on the Kennedy. Eisenhower, some delays in from Racine. It's up to about 32 minutes from 390 and 18 from Mannheim. Stevenson is clear, along with the Dan Ryan, the Bishop Ford, and 57. On 294 southbound 159, the exit ramp is closed for some road work, and also truck fires now cleared in Elmhurst, southbound 83 at 290, but crews are still on the scene. Mary Vandeveld, WGN Traffic Central.
The forecast from the WGN Chicago Weather Center. Cloudy today, a high around 32 degrees. Mostly cloudy tonight, 21. A little more sun tomorrow and a high again of 32. 27 right now at O'Hare, midway 30. It's 27 at River Forest, 29 degrees at Chicago's lakefront. Chicago-based Boeing is considering a slowdown in making the 737 MAX. The jets still aren't cleared to fly after being grounded last March. A Boeing announcement could be coming later today. Detectives are talking to a person of interest in connection with an attack on a teenage girl who said she was groped on the Brown Line this weekend. The 16-year-old says it happened Saturday at the Belmont station. And the Supreme Court won't get involved in a dispute over a homeless law in Boise, Idaho. The high court let stand a lower court ruling that struck down a law making it a crime to sleep in public places when space in homeless shelters is not available. WGN Sports, Kansas is number one in the Associated Press poll. That is significant because Kansas is the fifth team now to hold the number one spot.
You don't want it.
First time it's ever happened, I think, before January.
Oh, no kidding. Before New Year's Day, play starts
that
for all
there have been
schools.
Five different number one teams.
Virginia, Michigan State. I'm trying to think of some of the schools that
was
were
Was Louisville there?
Louisville was there.
Yeah.
Michigan jumped way up and then lost. They weren't number one, but wow. How about that? Let's go back to Steve Bertrand.
Indianapolis is in New Orleans for NFL football tonight, and the Bulls travel to Oklahoma City.
You don't happen to have where Butler is in the top 25 AP, do you? They were 18 last week.
Oh, were they?
As you probably know.
I did not know that. I was looking for another school.
Is Marquette in there, Steve?
I don't think they are. Your money on, but thanks for asking. Your money on WGN. The Dow is up 177 points, the NASDAQ up 96, and the S&P 500 up 28. But they are slated in the early bracketology as being a number six seed.
How about that? Isn't it amazing that they're already
ridiculous.
Doing that?
Man. I couldn't believe when I saw that they're forecasting who's going to be in the tournament. All right, I'm Steve Bertrand on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
All right, Steve Bertrand, so are we ready, Producer Elif? Do we have our contestant? And do we have our contest open? 3, 2, 1, hit it.
Come back to Chicago.
To Chicago.
Chicago.
Drove to Chicago.
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 Shy City. Shy City.
I'm coming home again.
Let's play our little Mega Monday morning quiz. They make it fun to get stuff done. Mega, Mary Vandeveld, just strolled into the studio. She'll be one of the assists. She left the traffic booth, and now she's going to do it from here. Are you
yes,
ready, Mary?
Lauren's getting set up.
All right. Lauren Lapka's getting ready in that studio. Let's talk to Anthony in LaGrange. Anthony, you're on WGN. How are you?
All right. How are you doing?
Good, Anthony. So the quit. You're in LaGrange, are you?
Yes, I am.
Are you in LaGrange right now?
Yeah, actually, we just, not a bright day today. We had a funeral to go to, my wife's grandmother.
I'm sorry to hear that, my friend. I appreciate your listening and calling in still. Let's put a smile on your face with this. Are you ready?
All right.
Now, here's the deal. I've got nine of them left. I'll describe this famous person from Chicago. You need to tell me who it is. Mary Vandeveld can give you an assist. Steve Bertrand can too. Tall, talented, and currently in a supporting role in The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. She was raised in Dalton, Illinois, attended Illinois State University, and was on Steve Cochran's show last week.
I'm going to need help with this one.
I just happen to be on Steve Cochran's show.
I would suggest you reach out to Mary Vandeveld for an assist.
Mary, can I get an assist?
Yeah. Can I just belt out her name, John? I believe it was Jane Lynch.
Jane Lynch is correct. She is so good.
She's everywhere, too.
Everything she does.
Yeah, she's doing that show now, that Christmas show.
How about this? Another tall, talented comic. You know him for his role as a running character in the sitcom The Office. He also had the titular line in Hot Tub Time Machine. That is, he said Hot Tub Time Machine on that movie. He's a talented comic who is also musical. He was born in Chicago, raised on the South Side. He taught music in the city at Horace Mann Elementary, an ISU grad with a master's in music. Who am I talking about? Steve, are you any good on this one?
No, I can see him.
I could see him, too. I know exactly who you're talking about, but I don't know the name.
Did you say Craig Robinson?
Daryl from The Office.
Yes. You know what? I will accept that as Craig Robinson. Number three, he grew up in Chicago Lawn neighborhood, went to Brother Rice and then DePaul. He was born in Chicago, fifth of six children. Nominated for both an Oscar and a Grammy. In 2018, he played Ollie in Stan and Ollie. But you know him for his work on Paul Thomas Anderson movies like Boogie Nights. Maybe best known for his role in Talladega Nights.
Oh, darn it, Steve.
I can get you started,
I think.
All right,
I got
go
John.
Ahead,
oh, I got it. I got the name.
Who is it?
John C. Reilly.
John C.
Yes.
Reilly, ding, ding, ding. You agree with that, don't you, there, Anthony?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
You're
Thank
doing
you.
Great,
and
Anthony.
I was thinking Chicago.
Yes, I am.
I was thinking when he was in Chicago, you know.
This Chicagoan is famous for having, among other things, a film with his own name in the title of the movie. He's an actor, director, producer. He went to downstate Benton High School, then Eastern Illinois. He became one of the most famous graduates of Illinois State and is notably a charter member of the Steppenwolf Theater. He lost millions of dollars to Bernie Madoff and was in a...
Is that Gary Sinise?
No, Gary Sinise is wrong. We might get to a Gary Sinise.
Say.
But there's no movie with Gary Sinise in the title.
No.
You're right.
How about you, Steve Bertrand?
John Malkovich.
I know, John Malkovich. John, yes.
He was about to say that. Anthony's got that one right, too.
It's a lot of John answers here, John.
All right, we did the Bonnie Hunt one. You loved her in Rain Man and Jerry Maguire. She's an oncology nurse by trade. How about this one? It's a model. It's not an actress, although she's been in some movies. And you remember for that Pepsi Super Bowl commercial, she may be DeKalb's most famous citizen. She was the valedictorian of her high school class. Went to Northwestern University on a chemical engineering scholarship. But
Crawford?
Cindy Crawford is right! Mm-hmm. Anthony knocking him out! You knew her first from American Idol, from the Englewood neighborhood. She was singing on a Disney cruise before she became famous. Now she's got a Grammy, Oscar, Golden Globe, People's Choice, and SAG Award. Her awards page is actually a separate listing at Wikipedia, and she's in the new Cats movie.
Oh, I'm going to need help with this one.
Oh, Mary, I'm counting on you.
She's in the new Cats movie.
Yeah,
she's... I know Taylor Swift is in the new Cats movie, but it's not her.
Taylor Swift didn't get a start on American Idol.
Carrie Underwood?
No.
Oh,
Chicago.
Oh, no, it's...
Chicago.
Can I do it?
Yep.
Oh, I know.
Wait. Jennifer Hudson?
Ding, Anthony!
Yep.
Are you getting some help there, Anthony?
No, I'm not.
It's just
I'm driving.
You're good at this,
man. There's a lot of ISU people, too.
When you say movie stars from Illinois and Chicago, it's ISU and Northwestern over and over
again.
Weird.
What about U of I? Hello.
How about this one? He and I are both graduates of Manuka Community High School. And for a time, he worked at the video store managed by my sister's boyfriend. He was born in Joliet. He's on a crafting show on NBC right now. He's deadpan, funny, burly. And maybe you first saw him as the plumber on Will and Grace, where he met his wife, Megan Mullally. You need more? You love him on Parks and Rec. You heard of him. Who is he?
Lauren, I'm going to need help with this one.
Hey, Lauren Lapka, are you listening to any of this? Are you any good at these?
I am. Lauren's good at this stuff.
Nick Offerman. Nick Offerman is from Manuka, my little small farm town.
I know that. Wow.
She is the highest paid actress in the world now, and she's from Plainfield, Illinois. Who is she? Do I need to give you guys more? Highest paid actress in the world is from Plainfield, Illinois. She has two Oscar nominations, one for comedic, one for dramatic roles.
Can I do it?
Bertrand, go.
Melissa McCarthy. Yeah.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yep.
Okay, you got two more. Actually, you've got one more. He starred in some of the most successful movie franchises ever. They've grossed over $9 billion. He was born at Swedish Covenant Hospital and went to the same high school as Hillary Clinton. His was the first voice broadcast on his high school radio station, in fact. He's married to Callista Flockhart.
And he's a lousy interview.
He is an unpleasant person. He is. Mary doesn't have it. Bertrand.
Well,
knows it.
I know who it is.
Who is it?
Yeah.
Who is it?
It's what's his name from Fugitive.
Harrison Ford. Yeah. But you know, you think Star Wars and Indiana Jones and all of that.
I always think of him in the future.
You would have said Star Wars, I would have got it right away.
Hey, you did actually, you did very well, Anthony. And for all of your efforts, we're going to give you that mega hoodie. I'm going to make sure you get a Malnati's pizza too, okay?
Oh, thank you.
Anthony, my best to you. Not a great day for you, but you've been fun to talk to on the radio. We appreciate you joining us.
All right. Thank you, guys. Have a great holiday.
You do, too. Anthony in LaGrange gets the mega hoodie. Sponsored by Mega Pros, they make it fun to get stuff done. So what jumped out at you there? Any one of those that you went, holy cow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I just knew them. I'm so terrible with putting their names to their faces. I can see their faces, and then I just freak out.
Too much of my life is now. Brenda, who is the, or what
yeah,
is the?
Yeah, and the brain Brenda's, cells are just leaving me.
Brenda's good at this. Griffin is good at this. Other people are good at this, but I am not. The Bonnie Hunt story was fascinating.
That is a great story.
Me. And John C. Reilly is one of those people you know, you love. He's always good, but you don't always have that
because
name.
Because he's like a B.
He kind of was.
B-actor,
he was always supporting major stars, and he's always really good in those roles. He's as good as they are, but he's not a leading man. So maybe that works against him, too.
He's Mr. Cellophane.
And then...
Mr.
Cellophane, that's a saying, an expression?
That's in Chicago. Cellophane, Mr. Cellophane. Because, you know, he was always on the outside. He was the husband of the lead actress in Chicago.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he is transparent in the movie.
Jennifer Hudson is a great story, too. I mean, tragedy in her life, growing up in Englewood. I was reading her bio, and it goes on forever on Wikipedia, and then it says wards and so forth. It's a separate page. It's a whole separate page for the stuff Jennifer Hudson has. She's a young woman. She's in that new Cats movie, Oscar, Grammy, Golden Globe, People's Choice Award, the SAG Awards. She's a winner there. She's
like
done
John
it all.
Legend. He's got all the awards.
No kidding.
Yeah. Well, besides the sexiest man.
Yeah, Jennifer doesn't have that. It's a 143. This is WGN. That's our Mega Monday quiz. So we've been taking time on Mondays since Thanksgiving to tell you a little bit about the Salvation Army, the services they provide. And you think of them as food. You think of them as shelter. You may think of them as toys. But good Lord, we found out about other things they do. Trafficking children. There's a program the Salvation Army has to help those people. Men getting out of prison. Let's make sure that they don't fall back into a life of crime. That's not so easy. They have a program for those people. They have alcohol and drug rehabilitation programs. They have a mobile canteen, that goes around. They know the stops, and people know when the Army's coming, and they serve them food. To say nothing of the shelters and the housing for abused women and children. The list goes on. Think of it this way. Any service you don't want to do, the Salvation Army is probably doing, or that you're just not capable of doing. It's not your skill. Derek White's here. He's the program manager of Fatherhood in Action. Derek, welcome to WGN. How are you?
I'm great, and thank you for having us today.
So what do you do with the Salvation Army?
I am the program manager for the Fatherhood in Action program.
What is that?
The Fatherhood in Action program is a program that provides skills and resources for fathers that will strengthen and equip fathers to work better with their children and also with the co-parent.
So how does somebody find you? And what? Tell me more specifically what you do.
What we do, we facilitate the different fatherhood groups through our partnerships. We have a partnership with the Cook County Department of Corrections. We have a partnership with the Adult Rehabilitation Center, which is an affiliate of the Salvation Army. And we also have a partnership with the Pathway Forward, and we also work throughout the community.
So they say here's a young man who needs some guidance fathering children. So some of these cycles don't repeat themselves. So then they say, okay, what do you do? Do you have counseling sessions? What do you do?
We provide case management for the fathers where one-on-one services are, we support the fathers and help to meet their needs. We help provide connections with economic employment for jobs. If there are fathers that need housing support, we have to direct them to housing connections. And we provide over a 40-hour curriculum. We teach through a 40-hour curriculum, and we teach the fathers on how to just strengthen the relationship with the children. The 40 hours is an evidence-based curriculum that we use. And in those groups, the sessions are very, very interactive, very engaging, and the fathers truly love it.
Is it the father and the child, or is it you just telling the fathers what to do when they go home?
It's the fathers and the facilitators and providing the skills so that when they reunite with their children, they're better equipped to work with their children.
One of the graduates of that program, Richard Lowe, is sitting right next to you. Richard, welcome to the studio. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Thanks for having us.
So tell me about yourself. What's your background?
Well, I have a background in management, but through the program, I...
How did you find yourself in the program? You had a child?
Yeah, I was married. I had quite a few children, me and my wife, and we got divorced, and I was able to get into the program through my incarceration. So it was just... By chance.
And through your incarceration. Yes. So you got into some kind of trouble.
Yeah, I did.
How long were you in jail?
It wasn't that long, like maybe 90 days.
90 days.
Yes.
Now you get out. Do you have custody or rights to the kids? How does
yes,
that work?
I have rights. I have rights to my kids, joint custody.
Joint custody.
Yes.
Then where do you come involved then? How did you get involved with him?
We conduct groups at the Cook County Jail, and Richard enrolled in the program, went through the 40 hours of curriculum, and after... He finished the curriculum. He reached out to our program, reached out to me, and we've connected. And since then, we've helped him to move forward in his life.
What did you learn or what were you getting when you were going to these sessions?
Well, I learned three major keys as far as making it safe to connect with my kids and my co-parent. Deciding not to slide into any decisions that will cause me to get back into trouble. And then just doing my part as a father, taking on responsibilities and being more of a leader.
Were you failing in some of those areas?
I would say I was before the program, yes.
Yeah. How did you feel about that?
Before the program?
Yeah.
I didn't have a source of support. So for me, getting into the program was right on time.
So you had children. You were involved with them, but maybe not much?
Right.
Were you thinking about it? Was it nagging at you? Or did that only come after the fact when you started to contemplate your responsibilities?
I didn't know that I was lacking in a lot of different things. So once I joined the program, I was able to see where I was lacking and where my concerns for my co-parent were.
That must be a lights-on moment for you then, Richard, right?
Yes.
Where they go, oh, yeah, wow, I got it. But, you know, you think that it's, you love your kids. Hopefully you do. Hopefully yes. You have a good relationship with them. So I think a lot of us think these things come natural. I shouldn't have to go visit with you, Richard, to pick up any sort of skills. It's just what you do. What's your reaction to that?
Well, in our program, we help to bring a lot of self-awareness to the fathers so that they can become aware of different, you know, things that they need to strengthen. Because when they become a father, it's really, they have what it takes to raise their children, but we want to provide more skills. We want to tap into what they need and begin to help them to consider some things and strengthen their relationships. It's been very, very rewarding working with the fathers.
My guess is that some absent fathers, what they don't know, you know, doesn't hurt them. They're like, well, that's not my problem, or I'm not thinking about that. I'm not with the kids right now. I don't even know what maybe the mother or the grandparents of these kids are going through to take care of these kids. Exactly. Is that a little bit of your experience?
Yeah, that's exactly what my experience is. Like you say, it was that aha moment of where I was lacking and not really fully understanding that, thinking that my co-parent may have been nagging at me when I was lacking in a certain area of responsibility.
Sounds like a little partner or parent, you know. It sounds like marriage counseling is what it sounds like takes place too, or needs to take place. Am I right about that?
Yeah, it's more like having a mediator, someone that plays no size, no roles in it that could give you.
So what's your relationship with your children like now?
It's very good. I see my kids every other weekend. I'm a part of their curriculum activities.
You go to things like at school?
Yes.
You're there in the play, you're in the audience, yes. Or whatever?
Yes, I'm involved.
And maybe before you weren't. You weren't when you were incarcerated. Were you that involved before that?
Not as much, no, because it was a hardship between me and my co-parent. We didn't really see eye to eye.
So you guys are mad at each other.
Yeah.
And so now the kids are the victims here.
Pretty much.
Paying the price. That's probably what happens to people all across the board.
We see it frequently. The target population that we serve are many fathers that are either underemployed, unemployed, have gone through substance abuse, going through rehabilitation. And since the program has started, we have literally enrolled almost 1,300 fathers.
Wow.
In our program.
Here in Chicago?
Here in Chicago.
Wow.
And approximately about 500 fathers have graduated. And it's been very, very significant.
I'm so glad to hear that. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of us sort of throw up our hands and say, well, the men need to be in the kids' lives. And if for a whole host of reasons they're not, let's address that. And here's an example of how that works.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Thanks for coming in, Derek. I don't think this is easy for somebody to do what you're doing right now. Come in and tell that story and be this honest. But it's helping a lot of people, so
yes.
I appreciate you doing that.
Yes.
And Richard, keep up the good work. The Salvation Army. That's Richard Lowe, graduate of the Salvation Army Fatherhood in Action Program. And a graduate from that program is Derek White. Merry Christmas to both of you. We're going to raise some money on my virtual kettle. We're doing a big show to raise a lot of money on Wednesday. So let's get more money in the pocket for your program, okay?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Guys, thanks for coming in. We go now from Studio A to Studio D down the hall. G, are you guys ready to roll there?
We are ready to roll on this Monday. Has it been a good one for you?
So far, yeah. Not too bad. What are you guys going to do?
Well, you know what? We're going to have Catherine Davis. She's with Chicago Inno, talk about all the startups that are on their watch list. One in particular I'm very excited about. It's called the Mom Project, and it helps moms who have been out of work for a while, doing plenty of work at home, of course, which is not always paid, but get back into the industry that they left to go and have a baby and raise a baby for a couple of years.
That's your first guess? You'll do that in the first half hour or so?
Absolutely.
All right, we'll be listening. That's right around the corner.